Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting our regular chat sessions with Kelly Gottlieb, Professor Emeritus at the University of Toronto. Kelly is one of the most significant contributors to computing education, the profession, and industry worldwide. Today, we're talking about Kelly's work as co-chair of the ACM Awards Committee. Thank you, Kelly, for coming in today to share your thoughts with our audience.
Thank you, Steve. I hope fire away with your questions and see if I can field them.
So, Kelly, why are awards and recognition so important?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, of course, they give the community, the ICT community, a chance to recognize outstanding achievements, and that really very much worthwhile. Then they identify role models for young people as they come up. And finally, they attract attention of the company, large organizations, Google and Intel and IBM and Yahoo and so on, and mainly because many of them provide the monetary prizes that go with the awards. And that essentially broadens the base of connection between the companies and people. Of course, companies like to have their own people recognized, but when they make monies available for awards, it's always at an arm's length of an award committee. They have nothing to say about how the awards are given, but naturally they welcome them sometimes, as does happen. People, so for and they also provide part of a history of the development of the technology. So for all those important reasons, it's really. I can add one other thing: the award banquets is a great party where people come to celebrate them. So there's really multiple reasons, and the award program in ACM, where I've been mainly involved, has gone ahead tremendously. When I first started, the Turing Award was $1,000. It's now $250,000. So you can, that's just one measure of how much it's gone.
Kelly, can you describe a few of the awards given out by the ACM?
Yes. The Premier Award, the first one that was given, is the ACM Turing Award. It's now $250,000, and it's given for an identifiable achievement that has grown with importance with time. So it's not, as some other awards are, possible for lifetime achievement, but you have to identify what the achievement is, and it's usually given perhaps 10 to 20 years after the achievement was made, because you have to wait and see that it indeed has had a worldwide long-lasting influence. So that's the first one. The next one, just going for a moment by value, the next one is the ACM Infosys Foundation Award. It's the only award that ACM does, well, it's not with the company, as a matter of fact. When we set it up, we were careful not to make the award with the company. It's an endowed award, and it produces a prize besides fame of $150,000. And it's for something done by a young person. Young is not carefully defined, but, you know, plus or minus 40 years. Which has had an important result in industry. So you have to be there. The focus is on young and recognized in industry. The ACM Doctoral Dissertation Award, incidentally, I should mention that the Turing Award is funded by Intel and Google. And the Infosys ACM Infosys Foundation Award is funded by an endowment which the Infosys company made. The ACM Doctoral Dissertation Award, it's a single award for $30,000 to the doctoral candidate and doctoral thesis, and two other awards of $10,000 each, funded by this time by Google. It is indicated as for the outstanding doctoral dissertation. It attracts usually 50 entries from worldwide, from leading university worldwide, and the winners of it are always bright people, and very often have gone on to stellar careers. It's a very that's for the committee, incidentally, a very demanding award, because for one thing, the thesis can be in many, many subjects, so you have to often compare apples and oranges when you're deciding which is better. And also, judging them, they can be quite long, is more demanding than the other places. So we have, although I have a pretty good record of attracting members to the award committees, the doctoral dissertation sometimes takes a little coaxing, because you have to read and judge all the theses. The Grace Murray Hopper Award remembers the outstanding career of Grace Murray Hopper here in the United States, the first woman programmer, and she started work with in Harvard when computers were still mechanical, and had a long career in the Navy. There are about 20 awards that are handled by the award committee. I guess I'll say more about that later. And then another 80 or so are given by the various SIG groups. So there are groups for SIG Chi, Computer Human Interaction, SIG Graph, and so on. And these are some of the awards are named awards, like a Turing Prize. Named awards have to be an award committee. I'll give the structure later, but anyway, they have to be approved by council. So much harder to get an award named after somebody than an ordinary award. There's Software Systems Award, and that's obviously what that award for the software system that has achieved outstanding. Outstanding Educator Award. Carl Carlstrom, outstanding educator. Carlstrom was an editor at Prentice Hall who edited publication of many books, including three of my own, I might say. It's funded by Prentice Hall. So there's a big, very detailed award site. If you go to ACM, www.acm.org, follow the awards link, they actually detail all of the awards and all of what they're given for and who the committee members are and so on. But that's only, I've just given you here a partial list.
So that provides a great overview of some of the awards within the ACM. But also, are there any awards for people who are not entered their careers yet? For example, perhaps they're in high school?
ACM International Science and Engineering Fair Award. Intel has a worldwide science and engineering fair, and the entrants for that are people who have won science fairs for a project in their own country. And it goes into various categories, physics, biology, life sciences, computer science, which actually attracts each entry, indicates what area they want to be judged in. And computer science is always the biggest number of entry. And the way it works, the way the ISEF award works, which incidentally our interviewer here, Stephen Barrick, is chair of that award this coming year, The students enter their projects, and they're judged in their area by in this case ACM members, and the winners of those projects then qualify for the overall Intel Award, which has a prize of a 4-year scholarship to MIT, which is worth probably close to $300,000. So that's a pretty important thing. And I've done the ISAF myself twice, and Stephen, our interviewer, has also done it. And we both agree that it's one of the most pleasurable committees to be on, because what you meet is a horde of bright, attractive, enthusiastic, intelligent high school students, and spending a couple of days looking at what they've done is really, because many of them, although they're in high school, do work that deserve, would, in my opinion, undoubtedly be publishable.
Kelly, who are a few recipients of the 2009 awards, which are given out in 2010?
Well, the 2009 awards are going to be, of course, have just been decided, and the award banquet is going to be there. That's the one I said. So even the 2009 awards, I didn't write down the list of it. So I can go back to 2008 and back before then. So let me just indicate, for example, 2008 is particularly important. Let me go to 2007 for a moment, because that was the first time a woman won the Turing Award. That was Fran Allen, and she was a very distinguished person who worked for IBM. Although she was very well known before, it practically changed her life, because the Turing Award is generally regarded as the equivalent of the Nobel Prizes for computing. And when she won it, she got a great deal of attention. New York Times printed articles on her and invitations to speak, which so many that she isn't able to address them all. Fran, I've known Fran for quite a long time, and she had been on some of the awards committee. So it practically changed her life. I've been chairman of the awards committee for almost and co-chair for almost 20 years. And when I started, as I mentioned, the Turing Award was $1,000, and it was always I had two goals for a long time. One of them was to move the decimal point on the prize, and that certainly has happened, because it's now $250,000. And the other was to get a woman to win it. And as a co-chair, I've been a chair of various committees before, but as co-chair, I don't vote. I attend certain meetings, but I usually don't vote. And naturally, you can't influence the vote of a committee, because the committee members are almost always very busy, very important, very capable person. And if you try and appoint them to the committee and then run the committee yourself, you'll soon get a lot of resignation. These people won't stand for any interference with what they think is important, so you mustn't influence them too strong. But in any case, I hoped and looked forward to the time for several years as to when there would be a woman there. And then one year it happened that I had two women on the committee. That wasn't a deliberate attempt to pack the committee, 2 out of 7. It wasn't a deliberate attempt to pack the committee, but they were just two very, very good candidates. And that year, a woman won it. Nobody will claim that they gave it to Fran because she was a woman, and that, in fact, was not the case. But let's say it was a happy coincidence. The following year, in 2008, for the first time, the Turing Award won by three people. Edmund Clark, Alan Emerson, and Joseph Tsoufakis for work on making software more reliable. So that's the first time the award has been shared by three people. Occasionally, awards are shared by two people. The committee decides, and when two people share an award, of course, the work for which is being recognized has to be relevant to all the people. That is, it's usually given for some achievement, and all the winners have to have made a contribution to that achievement. The ACM Emphasis Foundation Award that I've mentioned, which is for $150,000, was actually also won by a woman in 2008 by Daphne Kohler for her work on artificial intelligence. But the ACM website and the award banquet brochure, which is printed in conjunction with the banquet, has actually a list of all the award winners, at least for the principal awards anyway, the ones that are given by what is called the ACM Award Committee. Remember that the various SIG groups have their own committees. But there's a list of winners. And, of course, an important part of the award is a citation, which indicates what the award is given for. And the short citation, a sentence or so, and a longer one. And, of course, the citations are important because if they're well-written and really describe what the award is won for, then it helps make the award credible. People can read it and understand that it indeed has been a well-deserved achievement. But the 2009 award is the one that was just made and celebrated. So the 2008 award did indeed go to Barbara Liskov, professor at MIT. So for the second time running, there was somebody, the trio was in between. For the second time, a Turing was won, and I had a satisfaction in that because I told Barbara, now the fact that a woman won the Turing Award is no big thing. It's just taken for granted that when the best candidate is a woman, she'll win the award, and that's that.
And then I guess the 2008 ACM Emphasis Foundation Award was John Kleinberg.
Kleinberg was a very bright young man at Cornell. And his work was for the social effects of internet programs.
And then I guess though it's not fully sort of known yet, but Chuck Thacker won the 2009 award for.
Chuck Thacker won the 2009 Turing Award, and it has been very high praise for many. People for recognizing his work, and generally regarded as the first person to really produce a kind of personal computer. But he has a long list of achievements. As a matter of fact, although the Turing Award is supposed to be for one, he has about half a dozen, any of which people would think would qualify for the Turing Award.
And I guess he's what, the second hardware engineer to receive the award since the 60s.
Yes, that's an interesting point. Once again, the Turing Award is, as I say, the most prominent award. So very often, if somebody produces something mathematical, solves the hard problem in theory, then it's easily recognizable. In software, it's often team efforts. And in hardware also, it's sometimes a little hard to identify a single person who's responsible for the thing because the hardware is developed by implemented by an electrical engineer, and then you don't know whether it's important until it's patented, and you don't know whether it's important for years and years unless the basis of that hardware component takes hold of the many systems. So it's sometimes a little harder to identify individuals who do hardware. But so this year's award does that, and that's one of the reasons why it's been met with a lot of approval.
Yeah, and then I guess the t- 2009 ACM Infosys Foundation Award went to Eric Brewer.
Yes.
So how did you get involved, and what are your roles with the awards committee? And you talked a little bit about this, but maybe if you could expand.
Well, first of all, I had been on a number of individual committees, including the Turing Award Committee, the ICF Committee, and so on, as a member. And then, it must be pretty close to 20 years ago, the ACM had far fewer committees in, but I had been in about four of them. And they invited me to become chair of the awards committee. Now, the chair is appointed by the president and serves at the pleasure of the president. Essentially, the main job of the chair is to recruit members for the various committees. Committees consist of anything from 3 to 7 members. The 7-member committee, the Turing, because as I say, there's a meeting held for it, and it's particularly visible. And the fellows, which involves a lot of work because there's a lot of nomination for fellows. But most of the committees are 3 or 5 persons and people. Now, I introduced a number of innovations gradually into awards. For example, that at the awards banquet, incoming and outgoing chair of the committee are invited to the banquet, which is now held in June each year in a different city in all the way in the United States, except once when it was held in Canada. More about that later. With the intention to have the banquet alternate between the East and West Coast. And that happened for a while, but when we have it on the West Coast, the banquet tickets are oversubscribed very easily. And they've got, the banquet has become more and more of a great show. So one innovation I introduced was to have the incoming and outgoing chairs goes, and also the chair of the committee gets the pleasure of telling a winner that he won the award. That's a kind of nice perk. Phoning somebody up and telling them he just won $250,000. A little bit more about the banquet. The other thing is, so it's gradually, as the awards have become more prominent and now receive more notice, in papers like the New York Times, the more and more desirable. And for this coming one in June, the ticket is a new high of $200 a seat, but they're sold out. And about 10 years ago, we decided that we would make the dress formal optional. That is black, the way we worded the black tie optional. And at first, there were very few men in black tie. Women kind of like to dress up, so we had more and more women in formal gowns and enjoying the scene. But now I would say that almost half of the men turn up in black ties, and I had a fun experience. I guess I'll relate it on the first one. Once the award was held, in Kansas City, and I was going to it from my daughter in Hanover. And at that time the awards weren't held, and the meeting was held in February, and there was a lot of interruption of flights, and I was flying from Hanover to Kansas City, and I had to make about 3 airplanes. So that was early in the black tie, when maybe only half a dozen of us wearing it. So I was carrying my tuxedo with me on the flight, and there were several flights, it was clear that the last one I was going to get into Kansas City just about the time when the banquet started. So I decided to put on my tuxedo in the plane, and I took it back into the bathroom lavatory there, and put it on and did a Superman change into this tuxedo. And on entering, I got a round of applause from the rest of the passenger and a martini from the hostess when I strolled down the airplane aisle wearing a black tie, a tuxedo and black tie.
That's kind of an interesting story. It's quite amusing. I got a smile on my face.
So the award banquet now, as I say, is a really a sought after affair, and attracts a full house, and the ACM president presides over it, and of course the winners are there always with their families. They're invited, and I usually sit at the table of. Most often the Turing Award winner, but sometimes other winners, and get to meet them and their family. So it's really, when Clark was there, for example, that was 2 years ago. He had three grown children, but all sort of doctors. In fact, they were all doctors. One was a medical doctor, and the other were all PhDs. But they are living in different cities, so when he and his children, were there with his wife, they had a family reunion, so it's nice to be welcomed into that.
So at the June banquet, then, is the media invited at all, or?
Yes, the media are invited. The profile of the ACM Award continues to increase. It had none at all. At the beginning, as you get up to a prize of $250,000, the Turing usually gets a write-up now. And when Fran Allen was the first woman, she got a lot of notice, a lot of media attention. So the profile of the ACM Awards has been on the increase for quite a while, and the media are invited. The professional PR people, ACM has PR person, but there's also professional involved, and it's a pretty carefully managed event. And incidentally, between the first half of the banquet, the winners of the sort of 20 main committees are presented, and then the meal, and then later on we get the winners of many of the SIG, another award. So, like the Oscars, it threatens to become quite a long affair. So there's a script prepared for everybody. The ACM president presides over the thing. She, in this case, Wendy Hall, is president served for 2 years. He or she welcomes the people, and then I speak. And I identify the award committee members who are present, speak very briefly, and as I say, there's a script which is written for us. Naturally, we have input if we want, but it's complete with rehearsal. The awards are always Saturday night, so the rehearsal of Saturday afternoon. A co-chair, Jim Horning, and he speaks, I introduce the current chairs who made the awards, and Jim introduced the incoming chairs who will serve as chairs for the next award cycle.
Well, it sounds like a really amazing event. And as you mentioned, a great opportunity to get the word out about, the good work that's being done worldwide.
Well, it's a nice event. The executive president, executive officers of ACM, John White, who is actually an ex-president himself, usually follows me and gives a brief account of the major achievements of ACM, important events that have happened during the year. And the award speakers are told how many seconds I have to speak. If I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has seen the Oscar Awards, and that's the kind of pattern. But everybody is now told how many seconds they're allowed to speak to make sure that the whole affair doesn't go on to seem like a drag.
I see. Are there any other special awards events?
Yes, they for one thing, one condition of the Turing Award, the only condition, is that the winner publish or make and speak at some event. So usually the winner of the Turing Award is invited to speak at a conference of his or her choice. So that's an award event. And then the SIG Awards are, at various SIG meetings and conferences, can make their presenting. And then ACM has, there's about four or five organizations that we have joint awards, incidentally. One of them is with AAAI, is American Association for Artificial Intelligence. Another is with CRA, Computer Research Association. And so we have joint awards with those organizations have usually approached us and say, you know, they don't have not big enough to have an award banquet. Would ACM like to co-sponsor or at least participate in a joint award? And we've done this almost whenever asked. With SIAM is another one. We have good relationship with them, and when they ask to have a share award, we've always been able to say yes. And then of course the presentation will usually be made if they have some event. As they do for conference and so on. And the winner of that particular award will usually make an appearance at their event as well.
And as you indicated, there's greater and greater media attention. And I noticed when Chuck Thacker won the Turing Award this year for...
Much more attention than usual, actually.
Yeah.
He has so many achievements different communities took note of the recognition.
Right. I guess, as you indicated, he's sort of part of the founding of the first sort of true WYSIWYG PC, and he had some sort of co-inventor of the laser printing and of the...
Quite a list of firsts. Quite a list.
High-speed networking. I mean, I guess the list goes on, multi-processing and so on, so... Well, do you have any sort of closing sort of stories you want to say about the awards? Or?
Well, let me first of all say that for I've been award chair or co-chair for almost 20 years. There was one slight interruption when I had a bit of a problem with the current ACM chairman. It was quite an interesting event. I felt I had to resign because the person didn't show confidence in me, but the banquet was coming up, so I said that I would continue, and a very important thing was happening at that banquet too. It was the founding of the fellows, it was being passed by council, so there was quite so chair of ward resigning would have been a complication of the meeting, because council often meets at the same time, same weekend of the board. I sent in the resignation to be effective after the award meeting, but I indicated, however, that I would say nothing about our differences until after I ceased to be chair, and that person and council and executive chose to have me stay on through the award meeting, although I had effectively resigned just after it. They wanted me to come to New York while I discussed the whole thing, but I was pretty certain what I wanted to do. Named that happened. I went to the award meeting and everything went very smoothly, and and nobody but five of us knew, you know, that I was ending my term. They then appointed a new award person, a new award chair, and either that person plus the executive didn't like what I was doing. So after 1 year, ACM called me up and said, please, will you? First of all, they asked if I would like to continue in the position. I said no. The chair I had a problem with was still serving, so I didn't want to do that. But after a year, there was a new ACM president, and they called me up and said, would I please take on the job again? And I have agreed. So I've done it for, I think, almost 20 years with one interruption. I was chair myself, and then ACM thought with an increasing amount of work, and sort of without consulting me, they appointed Jim Horning, what they said, with my assistant chair. I had known Jim. He had taught at the University of Toronto, where I teach. So we were good friends, and I said, no, I didn't need an assistant chair, but I would gladly welcome a co-chair. And so they appointed him co-chair, and we've worked very well together. As incidentally, I have to say that ACM did a lot of work in chairs with timetable and schedule. And at the ACM headquarters, Rosemary McGinnis is the person at ACM headquarters responsible for interacting with the chair and various committee chairs. And she's a jewel and very good at, sort of reminding gently all the chairs of their responsibilities and doing a lot of the work that they have to do. And so we got a huge backing from ACM in the work of chairs.
And how long do you wish to continue?
Well, I do it year by, 2 years at a time, so far, I being chair involves chairing the meeting, which is usually held in the morning of the day of the award banquet. I'm not retired. My salary has been retired for quite a long time, although I'm not. And one of the reasons I'm not retired is this ACM co-chair, which involves a lot of email, a lot of telephone calls, and a lot of reading of documents. And being retired, I am able to devote the time to it. And I just turned 89. I guess as long as I'm mobile and agile, well, I won't say agile, but mobile, and have my wits about me, I guess I decide. Presidents are elected 2 years at a time, and each 2 years I make a decision whether I'm able to go on, and so far I've said yes.
Well, Kelly, we are very much indeed fortunate that you continue in your many roles and making continued contributions that have an historical impact and resonate worldwide. So I thank you for that value that you bring, and the deep insights and the long experience and knowledge that you bring to the worldwide community in so many different areas.
Well, thank you, Steve. Though the award meeting go well, I think it's one of the reasons too why I'm continually invited, because I start by, of course, asking each member of the committee to identify himself or herself, and then invite each member to report on how their work has gone for the year. Whether there's structuring, adopting new rules and how it went. So we go around the whole table. And incidentally, the meeting, attending the meetings of the award committee are voluntary. That's not a requirement of agreeing to be the chair. But we get a very high percentage of attending. I would say more than three quarters. And these are always busy, important people. So they attend the meeting award, attend the banquet. That's considered a nice perk for the thing. So these meetings have gone really pretty smoothly, and I guess that's one of the reasons why they keep asking me back.
And there's also the relationships networks that you have, and such a long history. Yourself, Kelly, as a pioneer who's...
Well, having been around so long, I know a large percentage of the committee chairs, of course, and, and I often call them up rather than email them when I'm writing and know them. So, you know, that kind of personal relationship also strengthens the, you know, the activities, the work of the various committees, makes it easier to get to move along.
Absolutely. And Kelly, again, I thank you for coming in today to do this interview. And, you know, we've taken a bit of time here, and I know you're always so busy. So, again, thank you, and, you know, for taking the time, for sharing your insights on this valuable work. And for our next interview, we're going to actually do a little bit of a segue into something a little bit different, and that is we're going to talk about your family.
Okay, if you think that's newsworthy, incidentally, I regard my relation very praiseworthy. I'm not sure it's newsworthy, but anyway, we'll have a go at it if you think that's appropriate. And Steve, as I repeat, since you're chair of the ISAF committee, we'll see each other this June in San Francisco, and I look forward to that.
And in fact, I'm very much looking forward to attending the banquet and seeing you again, Kelly. So this concludes our interview, and I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and we had our exclusive interview with Kelly Gottlieb, the internationally renowned pioneer in computing. And Kelly talked about his work as co-chair of the ACM Awards Committee.